talk about tonight, which I'm pretty sure will be all right, is All In for Jesus. All In for Jesus. It's the story of the widow's mite. And I have a widow's mite, an actual, authentic widow's mite. And we're going to read this story. But this coin was basically 50 BC to 50 AD in Jesus' time period, created by King Alexander Janicus. And it was in circulation. And the symbols on the coin is an anchor and the sun with eight rays, which is the symbolism of the Roman leadership in that time period, kind of their power over, you know, the whole area. So this coin's pretty worn out, but this is an authenticated widow's mite from the exact time period of when Jesus was talking about the widow's mite and passed it around. So I got this to pass around for you guys to check out. I thought it'd be something neat for us to look at that was actually in circulation during Jesus' time period. So you guys can check that out while we get started. So I'm going to read you the little story so everybody's aware of what the widow's mite story is. And Jesus said, in his teaching, he was saying, beware of the scribes like to walk around in long robes, like respectful greetings in the marketplaces, in the chief seats in the synagogues, in the places of honor, in the banquets, who devour widows' houses for appearance sake, offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. He said he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many of the rich people were putting in large sums. But a poor widow came, and she put in two small copper coins, that's the widow mite that we're passing around, which amount to 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors in the treasury. For they put in out of their wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in all she owned, all that she had to live on. Right? And this is the story of the mighty widow's mite. And this is what we're going to talk about, being all in for Jesus. Number one, the widow was unnamed, yet she's in the Bible Hall of Fame. She's a hero to all of us unnamed, unnoticed saints of God. She represents those of us who, just because they love Christ, do the will of the Lord unselfishly. And this is something I want to focus on for a second. It says the widow was unnamed. It doesn't say her name. Nobody knows her name. Nobody knows who she was, but she's famous. She's in the Hall of Fame for the Bible, right? The Bible Hall of Fame. But you think about, what I think about is when we wake up on a daily basis and we enact our faith and walk the walk, many times we get tired, right? Many times it's tiresome. Many times you feel unnoticed. Amen. Many times you don't see your good deeds. You know, you watch and watch and watch for these things to pay off, but yet they don't produce immediately. You know, I mean, Paul even said, I planted, Apollos watered, but only God gives the increase. And what he's talking about is you can devote yourself to your walk, but you may not see the plant. Amen. Think about Abraham's promise to God, who in dying still had faith in knowing his promise was going to come true. His faith was so strong that he died knowing it was going to happen without seeing it. Right? So, I mean, this first step in this idea is not allowing the lack of visible production to hinder our ability to continue to push forward. Like all of us facing all these trials and tribulations and struggles and court systems and expectations and frustrations and friends and all these different things in front of us. And we try to do our best, but then we just make one teeny mistake. Somebody's there to hit you with the fly swatter. You know, they want to come down and you do, but I'm here to say don't grow weary. Because Jesus noticed that, and then we're going to talk about that in a minute, but as far as the point number one, Proverbs 16 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So she's famous for her altruism, which is unselfish concern, an honest part of the body of Christ. You know, basically doing the will of God and sharing the love of God because she has the love of God. Amen. Not because I expect something from you, but because God is already alive in my life. Do I share the love of God without expectation, without saying you owe me now? Amen. Because if I do something for you in the world, you owe me. Do you not? But if I do something out of the love of Christ, it's the love of Christ. There's no expectation. Nor do I need a badge or a plaque or a recommendation for doing it. Amen? I simply wake up and exercise in the love of God. And that's what she did. And it says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. Amen? That's so funny to me. Because all of us, with everything we've ever been through, can justify exactly where we're at. We can look at our own situation and begin to justify our decisions. Well, I know that's what God might not want me to do right now, but this is what I'm doing because this is, and I'm upside down. Amen? Right? When Scripture clearly tells me not to do it, I'm doing it because I believe that I'm right. Amen? So all the ways of a man are clean in his own mind, but God weighs the motive. So it says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. So that's what she did. Amen. She gave it all. She did it all, but she didn't stand up and say, I gave all I had. She didn't get a recommendation for that. But the Bible says, if I commit my works to the Lord, my plans will be established. So I have to think about that. How many of us want to make progress today? Right? So if I commit my works to the Lord, my plans will be established. If I'm walking in the light of the Lord, if I'm taking the direction from the Word, if I'm staying in that connection and I'm aligned with God's Word, then I begin to grow. And that's what he's saying. The more concentration I put on doing God's work, the more concentration God puts on creating and developing me. Amen? Amen. Point two. Jesus noted the thing of most importance was not how much was given, but the extent of which the gift was a sacrificial one. This is powerful right here. The element is that the widow's offering demonstrates her attitude of absolute trust in God. She's all in. Amen. So think about that. Jesus noted the most important was not how much was given, but the extent that which the gift was a sacrificial one. See, he himself built this on sacrifice. And we're going to get into that. Hebrews 2:4 says, but the righteous will live by their faith. Romans 12:1 through 2 says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Have you ever heard of the sacrifices of righteousness? See, we live in the dispensation of grace. Whereas in the dispensation of the law, which still exists today for all of those that are not saved. Amen. It definitely still exists. But those of us that are saved live under the dispensation of grace. And there is a thing called a sacrifice of righteousness, in that sometimes I'm presented crossroads where I have this decision to make, where I know in my heart what the right decision is. Amen? Has God ever put it on your heart where you know what the right decision is? And you're faced with that right decision. And sometimes it may not be sin. It might not be sin at all. But God might be pricking your heart to run over and help somebody out. God might be pricking your heart to be in a specific place at a specific time doing a specific thing. Amen? And then you sacrifice your time and effort and do that thing rather than doing what you want to do. Amen? Today, this meeting, this attendance is a sacrifice of righteousness. Why? Because we as a team choose to get together in an area conducive to promote spirituality rather than sitting at home on the TV watching, you know, eating cheeseburgers or whatever at the crib. Amen? Very small sacrifice, right? But I've seen great sacrifice as well. But that's an easy example for us to understand that there's all these decisions that we can make on a daily basis. But the thing about this is that he noticed that the importance of it was not how much was given. And did you notice in the scripture, it said that he was watching the people running the church. He was watching them. He was watching the church leaders pull out stacks. Here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. And then a little widow out of nowhere comes up with 1 cent and puts it in and amazes Jesus. It was her commitment. It had nothing to do with the money. It's the motive. Amen? Now, the sacrifices of righteousness. In Ezekiel, he says, the Lord said, And I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." God is searching the land for Christians who are hungry to carry out His will. Amen. And in this specific sense, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, which was a verse that caught me a long time ago, this is one that comes up and up because it messes with me. I'll tell you why. He said, this is God. He said, "And I searched through the land among them to find a man who will stand in the wall and bridge the gap before me to save the land. But I found no one. I found no one. Search for one person to carry on my will, one person to share my word, one person to bridge that gap so I wouldn't have to destroy the land." The second verse in this book says, "He poured the condemnation. Their own ways I have brought upon their heads." He said, "I gave them what they wanted." Amen. But I remember many years of my life that God could have searched for me and I wasn't there. Amen. I remember many years of my life that God could have searched for me and I was still 50-50. Right? Is He going to search for me on Tuesday? Because that might not be a good day. Is He going to hit me Sunday morning? Might get that one. Amen. Right? Right? I mean, you think about it. God searched amongst the land for somebody to carry out the will of God. What's his will? It's love. It's just to carry out the love of God. To stand, you know, as someone who can instill the value, the moral, and the ultimate love of God in someone else. Jeremiah 17 said, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." That's hardcore. He said, "I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even to give each according to the ways, according to the results of their deeds." And the question that I have to ask myself today is, what did I do? What did I do this week? What did I do last week? What did I do last month? What's my deeds? Because if God's rewarding me by my deeds, and my deeds are unholy, amen?
You said 17?
Well, that was Jeremiah 17:10. But, yeah. But, I got to think to myself, I understand sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. I go along all day and I sow, just because it's going to grow. Guess what? I'm going to reap it. So if I'm sowing negativity this morning, if I'm sowing negativity this week, if I'm sowing negativity this last month, and it begins to grow, eventually I got to get my crop. Amen. God says, "I give it to them each according to their own deeds." So my question is, what am I planting? Amen. For that. So her offering was a sacrifice that demonstrated her absolute trust in God. That's hardcore. She took 1 cent, the only cent that she had, period, and put it in there. And the thing that we're most focused on is not the financial basis of the activity, but the heart to know that I can trust you, God, that I know you're there for me, God, and you can have me. I'm all in. That's what he was impressed by. It had nothing to do with thousands and thousands of dollars from the treasury. It just had to do with the will. Amen? Because many of us here don't have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, but we definitely have the ability to make a decision. Amen? Yes or no? Point number 3, Jesus set his approval for all time upon a sacrifice of the love which promotes it. This story of the unnamed widow displays that he judges gifts not by the amount, but the motive behind them. Previous to this, Mark and Luke explain that Jesus was previously speaking about the religious leaders about greed, only to follow it up with the widow's pure generosity. This is a contrast and a direct example of what Jesus condemns and what he condones. Right? So this is an example. He's talking to him. He's sitting there and everybody's together. He's explaining, you know, this mentality is condemned and this mentality is condoned. And that's important for us to think about. See, the religious leaders at the time period of the world and the thing of the world rather than God, their whole focus had become a financial gain versus the woman who had next to nothing, literally gave all that she had. In 1 John 2, he says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. But if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. So this world, you know, we think about this worldly thinking and this competition that we're in, because in reality, we find ourselves frustrated with our placement. But, and we talked about this last week, and we thought about, do I have everything I need, or am I frustrated about everything I want? Right? Because all of us sitting here today through trials and tribulations and ages and things we've gone through are healthy and we're here. Amen? Right? We're fed, we're clothed, we're heated. We're dressed, we're cleaned, right? Most of us have bathed within the last week. Amen? Sorry, Steve. I had to call him out. Seriously, getting deep over here. But honest to God, we find ourselves getting so taken back by things that we think that we need. But really, in reality, when we look at it, it's just things that we want. Amen. And he said, don't get caught up on all that, because all these shiny temptations that are being led right in front of us, whether it be a man or a woman or a drug or a paycheck or something, you know, that's drawing me out of the will of God, that's causing me to go left field, worrying about what anybody else thinks or spending too much time on my phone and watching TV rather than reading the word. All of those things are passing away. But he said, the one that does the will of God abides forever. So there it is again. There's the realignment. That the more that I do in alignment with the Scripture, the longer I'm promoting my own longevity. Amen? He said, you know, that the Word was able to save their souls. I don't know anything else in the world other than God and His Word can restore us. Amen? I've had some great massages before. I've swam in swimming pools that were comfortable, but nothing restored me. Amen? I've hit big jackpots and big losses and been through all these crazy ups and downs and things, but nothing restored a broken relationship that I destroyed. Only my faith. Amen? God restores us. God is the answer. Everything else is passing away. So if I'm caught up on that right now, then I'm passing away with it. The world. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober of spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that's just something that we dismiss on a daily basis. And I can tell you with honesty that I wrote this message a week ago. So I was thinking about it a week ago because I found this was such a cool gift. I thought that it was just really interesting to see an actual money in the time period of Jesus. But I thought about it, wrote it, and did that all last week, right? I did not one time think about the devil attacking me today. I was frustrated 653 times. Probably had my blood pressure go up 18 different times at work. But I didn't think about being under attack. That's a whole different perspective. You know what I mean? What if this is just trying to throw me off my game? Right? You're doing good right now, so I'm going to pull a three-piece out and fire him in the air. You're on the radar now. What are you doing at Bible study? I can't have you succeed. I need you back. Amen? I don't have the mentality to think about the fact that I'm under attack every day. But I got to be mindful of that, because Scripture's telling me, hey, your adversary prowls around like a lion seeking somebody to devour. But if we pictured that right now, how many of us would be comfortable with an angry lion sitting here? Nobody. How many of us?
Nobody.
And that's an animal. This man is much more crafty than a lion. Amen? He uses our friends. He uses our influences. He uses our bosses. He uses our capital. And then he uses ourselves. He's a the idea of the mind is like a virus. And it grows and it grows and it festers. Unless I say, but in the name of Jesus, I'm casting you out of my mind, devil. I'm not drinking tonight. Amen. Hello? Nope. I'm not coming. Amen. Because I enjoy seeing my children. I enjoy waking up the next day. I enjoy remembering what happened yesterday. Amen. Yes or no? He's not going to clown me like that anymore. But we're talking about what he commends and what he condemns. So what he commends in 1 John 4:8 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For the one that doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. Amen? Amen. And that's such a powerful verse to know that in everything, in all that I am, in everything I do, I have to have that love. Because that's what I'm called to do, because God is love. Even when I'm frustrated, amen, even when I'm frustrated with people that I'm working with in my life, people that are frustrated with me, I got to present that. I got to stay on that love. I can't let this frustration get to me because I want to function in God's love because God is love. And 2 Corinthians 3 says, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are the letter of Christ. Cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And Jesus knew it. Jesus watched it. The widow knew it. The widow did it. Amen. We know it too. Amen. Amen. So I would encourage us all to look into our lives and see where we can get all in for Jesus. See where I can donate my time. See where I can donate my I don't know, enthusiasm. Each and every single one of us have a different type of gift and ability to share. Each and every single one of us have an outreach to reach different people that you can reach people I can't reach. Clem can reach people I can't reach, amen? I might be able to reach some people that you guys don't know. But if we're all working together in that love and we're enacting that faith, then we're doing what we're called to do, which is our spiritual act of worship, amen? And that's what the widow did. And that's what he noticed. And that's what we can do today, amen.